Hey, everybody. Going through the Bible with Joe McGee. Man, it's just a great run. These are things, you know, when you hear, you think, man, how come I didn't get that? Did I not read that before and did not hear that? And so volume two of the Bible's not coming out. God's saying of the volume one, and it is an incredible run. So today, we're going to just do this real simple today. We're still trying to lay the groundwork. We're going to start with the oldest book of the Bible, Job. We're going to work through just chronologically all the way to Revelation. It's going to be in order of how it happened. Now, the Bible is a great book, but it's not necessarily written in chronological order. And so it's put together a little different, but we're going chronologically. And so today we're kind of just lay the last thing of concrete, just sort of an overview of both the Old and the New Testament. The Pentateuch or the Torah consists of five books, you know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And so what we're going to do, we're going to start with this. Just kind of listen carefully. Genesis, the book of beginnings. The word itself means the beginnings. If you look it up in Greek and Hebrew, what's Genesis? It's the beginning. Exodus follows, describes the birth of a nation. What's Exodus? Well, a nation was born, the Jews. Leviticus details the laws of the nation. Well, what are these laws? These are the laws they're going to live by. And we start with the Ten Commandments. There's about 600 more besides the Ten Commandments on those tablets. God set up laws. Numbers tracks the wanderings in the wilderness. 45 years before the new nation was able to enter the land of God that had set for them. But, you know, they'd sinned, they didn't believe it. So God said, everybody's 20 years of age and up. You're going to go back to the wilderness, so y'all die off. I will take your children in. Deuteronomy, the fifth book, is a review of the laws. It is also the book that Jesus quotes most from. You read what Jesus quoted from? Deuteronomy. That was it. Number six is Joshua, who succeeded Moses and finally conquered the promised land, Canaan. Then came the 300 years, a period known as the Judges. During this time, the fascinating little four-chapter book of Ruth was written. Ruth was one of the most important books of the Old Testament. You won't understand the book of Ruth, the book of Revelation, unless you understand the book of Ruth. It's tied to Revelation. They're both together. First Samuel, the birth of a kingdom. Second Samuel, the reign of David as king of the kingdom. First Kings, the kingdom was divided after David dies. The death of Solomon. The civil war broke out. And they were divided from each other. Second Kings, the history of the divided kingdom. First Chronicles, the reign of David. Second Chronicles, the history of the southern kingdom. Ezra, the return from Babylonian captivity. Nehemiah, the rebuilding of the city of Jerusalem. Esther, the escape from extermination under the Persian Empire. Listen, guys, the Bible is very laid out, very detailed, like the hairs of our head are numbered. God knows exactly what he's doing. Job, peeking behind the curtain. Job is the greatest book of the Bible. By the way, it's how everything started. The book of Psalms. Actually, there are five different books. It's a hymn book of the nation. It's got beautiful hymns and praise, but also includes some incredible prophecies in Psalms. Proverbs contains, but is not limited to, the wisdom of Solomon. Ecclesiastes, also written by Solomon, talks about the vanity of life. Song of Solomon is a mystical book about wedded love and other topics. It's a great book, great marriage sermon we do out of that. Isaiah, the messianic prophet. Jeremiah deals primarily with the desolation of Jerusalem, the city of the center of the universe, Jerusalem. Lamentations is Jeremiah's dirge on the loss of Jerusalem. Three books are mostly pre-exile. Through Lamentations, splits the pre-post and major prophets. Ezekiel is in captivity. This book talks about the rebuilding of the temple, the restoration of the nation. They're going to return to the land. He also describes what appears to be a nuclear war where Israel is invaded from the north. This is yet to happen. Then Daniel. The theme of Daniel is the times of the Gentiles. Daniel's unique man portraying the overview of all Gentile history from Babylon until the day that God sets up his kingdom on earth. Hosea focuses on the apostasy of the northern kingdom. Many of the situations are very similar to modern-day America. You want to read about modern-day America? Read Hosea. Joel speaks of the day of the Lord, the climax, which is also in the future. Amos, the ultimate rule of the dynasty of David on the planet earth. Obadiah focuses on the destruction of Edom. Jonah is a warning to Nineveh, capital of the pagan world empire. Micah is best known for prophesying about Bethlehem to be the birthplace of Messiah. Nahum is the destruction of Nineveh. Like Jonah, Nahum was sent to Nineveh. This time they did not repent like they did when Jonah first went. Nahum went. Second time, 40 years later, they did not repent. Habakkuk contains other things, an interesting phrase, the just shall live by faith, which will become the cornerstone of the three New Testament epistles. Zephaniah prophesies in many things, one being that when Israel is restored, they will again speak Hebrew. And since May 14, 1948, that's exactly what they've done. Hebrew language is dead for 2,000 years. When Israel became a nation, May 14, 1948, the Hebrew language was rebirthed. Haggai predicts the rebuilding of the temple. Zechariah, the numbers of fascinating prophecies about the second coming of Jesus. Malachi, the final message to a disobedient people. He sets forth the stage of John the Baptist, who comes in the spirit and power of Elijah. So you got it out. It's a story. It's going from Genesis to Revelation. It's a story of what God's doing, how he's going to do it, and when he's going to do it. God is not ever taken by surprise. There is nothing accidental. God is in complete control of what's going on. And so the Bible's laid out in story form. Again, you talk about just Genesis, the first book of the Bible, covers some 2,500 years, and the entire New Testament only covers 70 years. It's a story. It's talking about Jesus coming, when he came, and when he left, went back to heaven. And he's at the right hand of the Father praying for you and I right now. So we're going to lay the groundwork of the New Testament. And this is real fascinating. You got the four Gospels. Matthew presents Jesus as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Mark presents Jesus as the suffering servant. Luke presents Jesus as the Son of Man. John presents Jesus as the Son of God. All four of these guys lived Jesus with him, walked with him, listened to him, but they also have four different sides. Like, how do you describe an elephant? Well, you look at the front, the back, or the side. So it depends on what you're looking at. So they present four different views of Messiah. Acts describes the formation of the church in the first 30 years. The book of Acts is almost called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, and I like the way it says that. Romans, called by some the gospel according to Paul, is the most definitive statement of Christian doctrine in the New Testament. It is comprehensive, well-organized, and one of the most profound books of the New Testament. People used to ask all the time, what books did you read? Well, first I want to read Revelation. I want to know how the story ends. But then the second book I tell people to read, after you read Revelation, read the book of Romans. It lays out exactly what's going on and how you're to live in this culture. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians are letters Paul wrote to help establish order in the church. Why? Because people getting born again, spirit-filled, and it was a zoo. People getting drunk at communion, it was just some wild stuff going on. So he's having to set order inside the church. Galatians, probably the key book in the Reformation, distinction between law and grace. It is by grace that we are saved, not by keeping the law. Now listen, I grew up thinking, you know, the Ten Commandments are so critical. And they are. And, you know, I think every courthouse of every county I've ever lived in has got the Ten Commandments and concrete sitting out in front of the courthouse. But I used to shock people. I said, you know, nobody's ever kept the Ten Commandments. Because, you know, when I grew up, you got to keep the Ten Commandments. You got to keep the Ten Commandments. You got to know the Ten Commandments. And so when I was a school administrator, it's a Christian school, a very good Christian school. I'd have kids stand up and say, anybody believe in the Ten Commandments? Oh, yeah, that's important. You think it's critical? Oh, yeah, very important. I'd say, quote them to me. And I never, ever, to this day, have ever had one person, both a high school student or an adult, quote the Ten Commandments. If they're so important, why don't you have them memorized? Well, God gave them knowing that we couldn't keep them. What we needed was his son. We needed a savior. But we didn't know we needed a savior. So God starts with the law. He starts the Ten Commandments. You know, you got on the mountain. So he gives the Ten Commandments. And God says, you know something? I'm going to give you some commandments, and I'm going to show you you can't keep them. So what you realize, every day they're going down to the temple, and blood's around that temple, you know, on all four sides because they're slitting throats of goats and sheep and cattle. Why? If you sin, something's got to die. So instead of you dying, you slit the throat of your lamb or the goat or a turtle dove, whatever it is you can afford, because it's going to cost you. And blood is the price. And so God knew exactly what he was doing. So when you go down through this thing, you realize that Galatians, we're saved not by keeping the law. The law couldn't save us. All those years we had the law, it couldn't save us. We needed a savior. The Bible says the day that Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the temple was torn top to bottom. Well, who did that? God. It was torn top to bottom. What's behind the veil? The Ark of the Covenant and the Ten Commandments. What's God saying? It's not about the Ten Commandments anymore. It's about your faith in my son. Without faith, we cannot please God. Without faith, we can't whip the devil. It's about pleasing God. How are you going to do that? You got to believe his word. Do you believe God? And so it's real simple. Then you get to Ephesians, because of the high ground of the New Testament. It's called the Church of the Heavenlies. Man, everybody needs to read that about, you know, once a week. Philippians is about joy through suffering. Colossians teaches that Christ is preeminent above all things. He was here before, during, and after. He is that he is. 1 Thessalonians declares the mystery that we all call the rapture. Where do you read about the rapture? Well, 1 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. Let's go back. 2 Thessalonians clarifies the confusion about the rapture. Both letters focus on the second coming aspects, but they're end time epistles. So people say, well, you get Revelation, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Talks about it in both books. Simplifies real simple. Then you have 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. They give pastoral advice. So you've got Tim. Well, he's a pastor. Who's Titus? He's a pastor. And it deals with pastoral issues, what pastors deal with on a regular basis. And everybody needs to read that. Philemon. It's a short letter, sort of a model of intercession on behalf of a runaway slave. And there's a whole lot of lessons in this one chapter book. Hebrews simplifies the new covenant. The office of Hebrews has been a question for many, many years, many scholars. Most people believe it was written by Paul. Others think it seems to be deliberately anonymous. Now, one clue may be Habakkuk 2:4. The just shall live by faith. Romans quotes from this passage specifically and deals with justification. Who are the just? How do you become just before God? Galatians discusses how the just shall live, a call to righteous externalism. He said Hebrews call the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2:4. The cornerstone of each of the three epistles, which is that Paul really writes in Hebrews, even more remarkable is how the Holy Spirit guided the scripture in these three epistles. Then James talks about faith being demonstrated. You know, that faith works is dead. You show me faith by your works, I show you faith by what I'm doing. 1 Peter talks about the persecuted church. You know, nasty's coming, and this is how you're going to deal with it. 2 Peter talks about the coming apostasy in the end times. He said there will be a great falling away. Good people are going to go stupid. We think we see it happen in every church. I've been in church my whole life. You know, I'm going to be 70 this year. I've been in church my whole life somewhere. And good people go stupid all the time. You think, where'd they go? They went stupid. Well, why? They just did. There's no explanation. God said, I set before you life, death, blessing, and cursing. You get to choose. You get to choose. Then you have 1 John, the epistle of love. You want to talk about love? Read 1 John. 2 John warns about false teachers who lie and don't tell the truth. 3 John speaks about the preparation of helpers. We're going to help you. You're going to serve. I'm going to tell you what you're going to need to do. Jude, like in 2 Peter, talks about the apostasy. Except that Jude has some Old Testament roots that are fascinating in their own right. And then Revelation. More than just the close of the Bible, it's the consummation of all things. Everything that started in Genesis finds its end in this book, the book of Revelation. It is the only book in the Bible that pronounces a special blessing on the reader. The book's 404 verses contain over 800 allusions from the Old Testament. So if the book seems strange to our understanding, it's because we haven't done much of our homework in the Old Testament. It's in code. But every code is unraveled for you somewhere in Scripture. But that's the challenge of this incredible book. So, somebody once said, you need to kind of let the adventure begin. So the best thing you'll ever do is get your Bible. Get something that's a greased banana peel. Again, I recommend to everybody I've ever taught the New Living Translation. Get a New Living Translation. Start in Revelation. Read Revelation. It's going to get you excited. And you're not going to stand half of it, but that's all right. That's going to open the door. When you finish Revelation, go to Romans. And it'll take a few days. Go through the book of Romans. And that's going to excite you. Man, how good God is. It's by grace that you're saved through faith, not of works. You know, you're not going to work your way into heaven. You know, the Bible says the righteous fall 7 times, then they get back up. We're not the perfect people. We're the getting back up people. We fall on our face several times a day, scoop dirt with our lower lip. God says, jump up, spit it out of your mouth, and get moving again. It's by grace that we're saved through faith. And so God has a phenomenal plan. He knew that we were human. He knew that we would sin. The Bible says the righteous fall 7 times a day, but we get back up. Did you sin? Yes, but I repented. Did somebody sin against you? Yes, but I forgave them. So it's like, you know, it's like make sure you have you keep your bowels clean. You repent quick and you forgive quick. Don't let the sun go down in your wrath. Don't let something mess with you. Just give it to God. Roll your cares over to God, for he cares for you. How are you going to do that? I'm going to get in the Word of God. So when we come back, we're going to jump in the oldest book of the Bible, Job. Fascinating, fascinating book. You're going to really love it. So we look forward to hearing you next time. God bless, guys. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.